I've tried to decide if I wanted to like share the last like 4 years basically on Instagram, and like I keep getting close and then like not doing it. So like, this is all very new for me. Like my body since February was the start of when things started to finally improve. So like the only in the last like month I have felt like a what I would consider a healthy, normal person.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. This is the Menstrual Cycle in My Body, and I am your host, Ray. And this is the podcast in which I interview pretty much anybody with a menstrual cycle about their experience of the menstrual cycle in their body. So hopefully that's pretty simple and straightforward to understand. It's definitely my hope to get a pretty wide range of people on the show and really just be sharing experiences and stories. The typical format of the interview will have a bit of a standard flow, but of course we'll just kind of go off and hear what people have to say from there. And this really could be people anywhere from actual experts in the menstrual cycle field or other areas of health or mental health, to people who are just experts on their own body and tracking their own experiences, but also to people maybe who have not developed such a relationship with their cycle and just kind of want to share stories and experiences. So hopefully get the whole range. I do want to mention really quick right off the bat, and we talk about this in this episode and I'll bring it up lots, but just want to emphasize that this is not medical advice. And if you are concerned about anything with your cycle or anything else, definitely consult a medical professional first. It's always better to check those boxes before kind of diving into your own exploration of things. Furthermore, I just want to make a quick note that this podcast is under the Moon Cycle Sanctuary production, which is a project that I run, which is menstrual cycle education. I do menstrual cycle education. And while this is a part of that project, it is separate in the sense that the information on the show and from the guests does not necessarily represent my view as a menstrual cycle educator. I don't pre-screen anyone's stories or anything, and so it's really a free space for people to share, but just wanted to make a quick note about that. So yeah, the voice you heard coming into this was that of Alyssa Martin, and Alyssa is a certified corrective exercise specialist and trail runner. She lives up in Washington. And Alyssa and I actually grew up in small adjacent towns and kind of knew each other, but got formally reconnected back in 2021 when I first launched Moon Cycle Sanctuary and the Menstrual Cycle Foundations course. And Alyssa was actually, if not the first person to sign up for the class, one of the first. And I love Alyssa selfishly because she's been a big supporter of my work from the beginning and just so encouraging, which has been really great for me. But I also got to know Alyssa better throughout the course and in the years after, and I'm just really impressed with her, and specifically she's just so diligent, as you'll hear in this interview, and committed and intelligent, and she does her research and she does the tracking and she pays attention and she's so conscientious and really open. And so I love this interview. It's a little different from the standard format, even though it's the first one. So how would you know? But in the sense that we actually did the initial interview a couple years ago, in which we talked more about Alyssa's first period and her education in her early days about the menstrual cycle and just her earlier experiences. And then I reached out to Alyssa to check if I could republish after taking a little bit of time off. And she actually said, well, I'd love to talk to you again because a lot's been happening, a lot's changed. Alyssa has a big history of chronic pain around her cycle. And so we decided to talk again, and I'm so glad we did because, yeah, this is just a a really incredible journey that she went through, and it was so connected to her menstrual cycle for her, and she just talks about that, and so I feel super grateful to have had the opportunity to get that down. And the last thing I will say before we dive in here, because this one's a little long, is that when we recorded this interview, I was actually not intending it to be on the podcast yet. I was going to keep it as the blog post that I've been doing so far. But then I was listening to it and it just, I don't know, I just loved it and felt like it was worth throwing it out there. But that being said, the quality of sound is not the best. We were just recording on Zoom, no mics or anything. And also, I'm real new to all this techie editing sound stuff. So overall, it's absolutely not perfect. And specifically in the first part, my voice sounds a little funny, but bear with it. It gets a little better a little ways in the interview, and also hopefully should overall be good enough to hear. And I really think it's really worth listening to if you have a menstrual cycle or any experience with chronic pain or mental health or so many things. I just think this is a super relatable experience. And yeah, thank you again, Alyssa, for sharing and your openness and your exploration. And yeah, without further ado, here we go.
So this is going to be a very like raw, like you're gonna like, I kind of got excited when you reached out. So I was like, oh, like I can process these things with her. She's a safe space to like let these things be very fresh and like process them. There's going to be a lot of, oh, I just figured this out. I wrote down like a couple things that I like have already figured out, you know, but otherwise it's going to be a pretty planned process. Yeah, like I'm really in between identities, largely because for so long I feel like as soon as I got my diagnosis was right when I had come to terms with being someone with chronic illness and chronic pain. And so then when I was like, oh, this is a treatable thing, I no longer identify in those areas. And that was so much of my identity. I'm very much so a type of person who relies on labels to understand myself. And so having those no longer be such a huge part of me has been, oh, liminality is the word, by the way, between identities. It's been nice, very weird to like figure out who am I now if I'm not this like chronically ill, chronically in pain person. And on top of that, just having the energy to actually think about that has been wild. Cause like I didn't have time, like the energy or emotional bandwidth or anything to think about any of these things before. So yeah, it's gonna be a process to,
I can already tell. I'm just gonna love every second of this conversation.
Yep.
I could already say like 15 million things in response to that, but I am gonna pause us. I thought we should do our four-line feeling check just for the sake of the practice and the in the moment. And then yeah, we'll kind of start to get into it. So I can start. my body feels light overall. And there's like a bubbly thing happening, like from my upper belly, kind of up to my chest. There's like a little bit of a shake in my hands, and spine. Like the muscles going up on either side of my spine are kind of tight as well. I feel excited and some like, it's like a nervous excitement. And But yeah, I feel really excited.
Haven't done this for a while, to be honest, but I'm excited because I like it. In my body, I feel tightness in below my sternum, a expansion in my lower belly, day 28. A rounding of my shoulders, rigidity in my neck, and a tickle in my throat, and pinpointing to between my eyebrows. I want to spread that out. In my heart, I feel hopeful and optimistic and excited and open and eager to be vulnerable. And in my mind, I feel busy but ready to organize. Yeah, like thoughtful, lots of thoughts. And my spirit feels, in your course, I used to really use tethered or untethered. And what's interesting, I would describe this as an untethered, but like, I feel like it's like vibrating. I feel like, it's not a bad untethered. It's just like an explorative untethered. Yeah.
Sounds alive.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I think that's it.
Well, I'm gonna add one thing. I think I feel really like safe. I just wanted to name that because that's often not the case. So yeah, what I thought we could do just to kind of ground this process, since there's so much to talk about, I'm sure. It's just a brief kind of hop back to where you were last time we talked. And I'll kind of give my best sort of two pieces from just the interview that I have, and you can kind of, yeah, we'll go from there. So, as far as I can remember, and from what I read from the interview last time, is you kind of didn't have a diagnosis. You had had a lot of pain with your cycle, a lot of exploration, a lot of medical exploration, and kind of had come to a place, as far as I remember, where some things had helped. I think the thing that you had named that helped the most were the like IBS, addressing that, and the probiotics, I don't know. But then I like, so that seemed like it had helped significantly, but also there was a level of like, I'm living with this. This is what's happening. Did I miss anything significant in there?
Yeah, it's also just ironic because I also, I don't know, maybe I hadn't told you because it felt too like medical or something. I was also taking some supplements like magnesium, zinc, and I think calcium, which is so intriguing because my body so accurately craved things during this. And it took a long time to for all the pieces to make sense. So yeah, we have a family history of endometriosis, and so my doctor and I had really thought that was it. Part of the problem is that if you don't want to have children, which I don't, they honestly don't care, or at least in my experience, they don't care. It's because they're like, what, you want me to go in and do surgery so that you can try to get pregnant and then it will just grow back? And so like that's your option. That and birth control, which for me was not working. The hormonal birth control options that I tried, I did not want to try the IUD. I just knew my body would expel it. I can't explain that, but like,
Did
I
it
know.
was so weird.
My body does not like foreign objects. Yeah, that sounds naive, but like, no, I know. So the hormonal birth controls, if I went up too high, I just felt like a lunatic is my best way of explaining it. I just didn't feel like me, and I preferred feeling awful for a couple days during my period and feeling a little more like myself when I wasn't taking the birth control and not on my period. I preferred that option than just being on a hormonal birth control that might have made my periods better, but also I'm not really convinced. And also I was started just getting worse. So I started like spotting, and I started just like everything was, my body was not able, even on birth control, to maintain a consistent cycle. I let myself like listen to that and understand that that was just like forcing it into something that was, I felt like it was making things worse. So I got off, and that was a very positive, ultimately, decision for me. Like, I feel like I took your class like 3 months after coming off of it. I feel like, because I know I had a natural cycle with you, which is why I wanted to do it. I was like, oh, I have this thing that I've never had before. Because I got on birth control very quickly. I was very late to getting my first period. I think I got it like 16. I think I got on birth control like 17. So that's not a long enough time for me to have like started getting a natural,
And it's not normal.
regular cycle. So yeah, I took your course. I remember being like, this is such perfect timing because now I can like learn about my natural cycle. So that continued. One of the biggest benefits is that I can use my period as an indicator for my health overall. That's like very trackable. So throughout the last 3 years, I started getting more and more symptoms that, I mean, they seemed, so many of them seemed completely unrelated to anything. Like, I had no idea how all of these issues could be happening. I like, it felt like I'd wake up and be like, oh, now I have this new thing. It just was, it felt so progressive. And it's really hard to track a lot of the types of symptoms I was having, which we'll get into eventually. But my period was one thing that was trackable. I could even kind of say like my pain levels felt more like easy to track than other things. And the cycle length was something that was changing. And so I could tell that it was slowly getting longer. So the cycle was getting longer. My period was remaining 4 to 5 days, which also ended up being really frustrating medically wise because, in my experience again, doctors don't care if your cycle is irregular. They care that your period is regular. So they did not care. They wrote it down, but like didn't care that my cycle was anywhere from 26 to 46 days long, because I would tell them that my period was 4 to 5 days. It was becoming increasingly more painful, which was very clear. But limited things, they basically told me to take. So, like, towards the end here, fast forward like 3 years from when all this started. So, like, last year, end of last year, I was prescribed, like, told to take 1,000 milligrams of ibuprofen. So, like, two high dose pills every 4 hours. And I was taking Tylenol in between those so that one painkiller was never at the end of its efficacy. And so I was taking loads of painkillers. So that was for day, like, I'll call it negative one because my cycles aren't consistent. Basically, day like negative one to day two was like taking that many painkillers
And did
because I literally completely debilitating towards the end there. And it was at one of those times where I messaged my doctor and was like, this can't be my life. This cannot be how my life is going to go forever. Like, I can't wait. I was waiting for menopause. Like, I was like, please, God, like, I just want to wake up and be in menopause. Like, that's how desperate I was. So, yeah, things got progressively worse symptom wise. I had like, so like long cycles, really bad menstrual pain, dry skin, thinning hair, just like poor hair and nail health, chronic, really bad chronic joint and bone pain, muscle pain, all
Just
of
like
them,
whole body pain, like
whole body pain all the time, like extreme fatigue, which people don't get because I did an ultra during this time. But like, I
but you've
couldn't
got a
explain the
strong
fact that
will. I
it is pure stubbornness. So with that
it.
quickly, basically I was like, if I'm going to be in chronic pain and tired all the time, I might as well do something interesting. Cause honestly, it didn't really like make me in more pain. And most of ultra running is discomfort tolerance, pain tolerance. And so I was like, well, I got that on lock. So like, I don't care when I'm in, I was in less pain during that ultra than I am during my period. Like that's, yep, that's how it went. So I was like, this is fine. So all of that pain, which was super hard as an athlete because there were times when well-intentioned friends in the fitness community were like, you really need to just suck it up. Like everyone is tired and sore after a workout. Like you need to push yourself harder. And they were well-intentioned because I was someone who had to learn to stop making excuses. There are valid excuses and invalid excuses. And I did have some invalid excuses at the start of my like athletic pursuits. So they were well-intentioned. They were coming from a place of knowing that I did that and helping me get over those, but continuing to think that I had these problems. And I, it's very hard to know what other people's bodies feel like. And so I kind of like, you know, what's that word everyone uses now? Gaslit myself
Exactly what I was
into
thinking,
thinking
what
that
I
I
was
was
feeling.
fine. I was like, it's everyone's feeling this way. Like it's, I thought that I really felt like I was just adulting worse than everyone else. I was just like, everyone's tired and this is just what it's like to be an adult. Got a lot of responsibilities and it's hard. But yeah, there was a breaking point where I had messaged my doctor because I was like, this can't. Because even off of my period, it just, my period was definitely the worst. Like that was the most focused pain. But my everyday was becoming pretty intolerable, mostly with the fatigue, just sleeping 9 hours and taking a nap, but still feeling like dead tired. So I really felt like I could only do like one thing. I was working part-time already at home, remote, like my life was easy. Working part-time and I felt like I could like either work out, work a little bit, and that was it. Or I could like work and then like go to the store and that was it. And I couldn't like go to multiple stores. That was too overwhelming, too many things. Like I really felt like I could do like two things in a day. Like mentally and physically. And then in December of 2023, I messaged my doctor that desperate. I thank God my doctor listens and is actually collaborative and she doesn't think I'm a hypochondriac because I admittedly sent her a list of things that sounded insane, you know? I was like, this is a weird list. Like, I don't know how all these go together. That's hopefully your job. But here's everything that is wrong with me. It's a lot. And I also had kind of figured out, I was like, most of these things started when I moved to Washington and just got progressively worse. So I told her, I was like, I
Interesting.
kind of looked into vitamin D deficiency and was like, I think I'm vitamin D deficient. And she looked at my list and she was like, Probably, if you're not supplementing, like apparently kind of everyone in Washington should be supplementing, which somehow I missed that memo. And you
I
know, some
think.
things are oversights. So she told me to start supplementing, but then she also said like a high dose of vitamin D. And then she also said, I think some of these things could be something else. So I'll get some blood work for you. That was supposed to happen in like January, but we got snowed in. So I had to move that appointment to February. And so I got my blood work, got that appointment in February. It was like 4 days before my ultra. And blood work came back that I had subclinical hypothyroidism, which
Oh, wait, I'm
means
gonna
it's
pause
a
you just for 1 second here. Just had you must have done blood work before, but had it been a while, out of curiosity.
Thyroid panels are not part of a general blood test. I had had a thyroid panel in 2021, and my TSH, which is what you test for thyroid at the start, there's more comprehensive panels, but if you're just like peaking, then you test TSH. So my TSH was high, but in range. And in 2021, I
Flashback.
feel like they tested that because I was having weird bladder symptoms with my periods and just in general. I kept thinking I had UTIs when I didn't. And so I think my doctor, they didn't actually tell me, and I didn't know at the time that it was an unusual test to run. So, but I think that's when they tested that. And so then end of 2023, it's out of range, high, but my other markers, so there's T3 and T4, were normal, which means that it's subclinical hypothyroidism. So that explained between that and vitamin D, oh my God, those two things are systemic. They can change everything, everything, including the fact I had an irregular pap smear in 2022. Apparently, you need vitamin D for your cervical cells to proliferate. And if your vitamin D is under like 20, you're very likely to get a ascus score on a pap smear. So like irregular, but it doesn't look like cancer.
Interesting.
And so like I've since had a pap smear that came back clear now that I've treated the vitamin D deficiency. And I know, right? That one trips me up. I think that one's crazy. So
Authors
like
crazy.
literally every single thing that's ever been wrong with me has been corrected. So I had already been taking high dose vitamin D when I had messaged her and she told me to, and then my vitamin D was still low. So that indicates that I was definitely very vitamin D deficient. If I was, you were supposed to recover from vitamin D deficiency in like 3 months. I had supplemented for like 2 months and it was still not recovered. So indicates that I was very, very vitamin D deficient. I tried to look into whether that could cause hyperthyroidism, and there's like it's one of those ones where they can't tell if it's correlated, or if it's a cause, a innocent bystander, or a there's like another word for that, like it's a symptom, cause, or an innocent bystander of hyperthyroidism, but they are definitely often seen together. So she asked if I wanted to start levothyroxine, which is like the TSH. It's basically just the hormone that your body's not making enough of. So the thing with levo is that you are on it for the rest of your life if you take it. Like it's just your thyroid can't do it anymore, so you just take it. There's not really any side effects because it's literally just the hormone that you're supposed to be making, which is nice. But I still was resistant to being like, I want to see, because I had already started feeling a lot of things had been getting better just with the vitamin D. So I was like, I want to know what direction my TSH is going. Is it going up still, or is it going down now that I've fixing vitamin D deficiency? And she was fine with that. So then I retested in 3 months My TSH was going down. I test in like 2 more months again to make sure. But it does seem like those were causing each other. But also importantly, I actually figured out that in 2020, we COVID things, pandemic, staying at home things, we bought an ice cream maker and like a do-it-yourself situation, and we bought bulk salt for this ice cream maker to make the ice colder for the ice cream. And bulk salt is not iodized. And we started using that salt to refill our table salt. And so for 3 to 4 years, I was not eating iodized salt. So I figured this out by myself, ignored, didn't even bother to tell my doctor. But I started taking iodized salt, and I started taking a multivitamin with it. Because I knew it's not toxic. I know those, I'm educated enough to know those things, enough biology. So I started doing those things solo. Sure enough, everything got better very quickly. So there is a thing called iodine deficiency hypothyroidism. It used to mostly be a third world country problem, because they don't have iodized salt. However, I think it's really interesting because I feel like it's going to become a problem again because everyone's eating like Himalayan pink salt and sea salt, which isn't iodized. And it is the primary source of iodine for us because our soils are all different and whatnot. So like I really think this is going to start becoming more of a problem again as people eat
Yeah,
fancy
can you
non-iodized salt.
imagine?
And kind of the other sources are like eggs and fish. And I kind of mentioned earlier that I was craving certain things very accurately. And it's wild because like towards the end of last year, I was eating so much fish. And Matt was making fun of me. He was like, "You're gonna get like mercury poisoning." I was like, for some reason, I just like love fish right now. And I was eating so many eggs. And so like my body clearly was like, these things make us feel better. I need them so badly. But like even you cannot, like a normal person's not eating enough eggs and fish to even get to the like very bare minimum of daily iodine requirement. So I was definitely struggling. And the thing with then you say, oh, what about Matt? Matt definitely started being a little symptomatic, but he was actually taking a multivitamin that I wasn't taking. So I was taking those specific vitamins, which some of those I needed because all those. You become really bad at absorbing all nutrients when you're in the condition I was in with vitamin D and iodine deficiency. So I was right that those things would make me feel better and they'd make my period less bad because I had a lack of them. But it's sad because it also meant I wasn't taking a multivitamin because instead I was taking specific vitamins and a multivitamin has iodine. So, yeah. So that's rough.
That
So
is,
that was that, and how that relates to my period
yeah, really.
is mostly that, again, my period is like one of the only trackable, measurable things where I was like, no, this is getting progressively worse. Like, whatever is going on, it is getting worse every month. And I actually really like valued that tool, because that, yeah, there's not many things that are so consistent, like supposed to be so consistent.
Okay, and
Yeah.
so now, it's July, you've been back on the proper sort of supplements, so to say. What's your experience of your period right now?
So different. First, it's like definitely normalizing length. I can like watch it like just every time get a little closer to less fluctuation. Yeah, so it went from, I'm gonna read off since January. January was before treatment, January 39 days, February 28 days, which is interesting because I also figured out that sudden supplementation of vitamin D shortens menstrual cycle length. So that explains that one. 35 days, 30 days, 27 days, and I suspect I'll start today, which will be another or tomorrow. So 27 to 28. So, like, in just that amount of time,
Wow,
already.
big.
Yeah.
Especially because it was so consistently long, 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 and like all of, yeah.
Yeah, some of these are ridiculous. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. And this confirms how I feel too. Just in the last like 2 months, I've really been like, oh, it's my menstrual cycle's turn to figure itself out. Which makes sense, like systemically as well, is that it's going to be kind of the last thing to regulate.
Yeah.
That's kind of like how the body works. So makes sense because also like my metabolism was a shit show. So I didn't realize how little I started eating, especially considering my caloric expenditure.
Yes. Yeah.
So
That makes sense.
yeah, I mean, which makes sense again with that I in order to not, most of the time people with hypothyroidism gain a lot of weight. And so I didn't ever feel like I was restricting. I just think I'm like very good at maintaining. But I didn't realize that I was eating so much less than an athlete of my size and energy expenditure would be eating.
Was that just, you think, because you were in pain and like didn't have an appetite, or what was the
No, that's just one of the things that goes. Your metabolism just gets really slow. Like you're, yeah, that's just like
I
one
see.
of
So
the things.
you were consciously maintaining like your.
Yeah, but I'm saying like I'm just really good at like, so my hunger cues didn't really exist.
I
Like I
see.
would eat a lot
Interesting.
because I knew I had to eat because I worked out, or I would eat because I'm about to work out and I know how to feel as an athlete. But like I basically had like very few hunger cues or very confused hunger cues. And that kind of settled in like May, I'd say, is when I like really started like getting hunger cues and getting excited about that and like honoring that. I'd always eat right. I was like, yes, hunger cue, I'll eat. Yes, I'll listen to you. I like let myself gain some weight and stuff, and I felt like excited that my body was recovering for that, which is also hard because, you know, all women struggle with gaining weight and accepting that. Letting my body composition change because I wasn't running because I felt like it was super disrespectful to start feeling better and then force myself into more demands. I was like, okay, I'll back off. I'll let my body heal. Like I took an off season after my ultra and I was like, oh, like that was not fair to take off season while ill. 'Cause like my body was trying to just like fix the things that like systemically, and so it didn't have time to fix like excess, like off season's meant to like repair like bones and muscles and like give yourself like energy again and stuff, and like
Fun.
that fluff was not happening while I was ill. So I was like, okay, I will take off season once I feel healthy and to make sure that I'm like fully ready for another season of training. So yeah, menstrual cycle has really shifted from something that I like literally dreaded, because it was such a negative experience. Like I like feared it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it's now something that like I kind of like the hunger cues, I get like excited. I'm like, oh, you're doing it, little body. Like, okay. And like it's exciting to be like on a schedule again and to, it feels like a privilege to like have a period that I don't have to like fear. And I feel like just the fact that it's not horrible has given me like a temporary, I'm sure I'll get sick of it again, but for now, it's like a temporary excitement that it's a thing that I get to have that's normal and indicating that I'm healthy, you know? So it's really like confirming what I'm feeling, just like I used it as a tool that I was sick. I'm now using it as a tool that I'm like fully recovered. And it confirms all the things that I feel internally that are not as like, I don't know, diagnostic, like measurable.
I mean, I just feel like hypothetically too, it could just keep becoming a more positive relationship. I mean, you're so in touch. That's one of the reasons I love talking to you is you're so willing to listen to your body. And of course, there's all like the normal confusion and like, sometimes there's so much happening that, what do you follow? I feel curious. I'm definitely like curious to keep checking in with you like along the journey, because I feel like there's such, it is such a powerful transformation, and yeah, maybe you'll get tired of it, but like could just be a positive relationship.
What's interesting with that is that two main things. I wrote down both of them, so I'm not worried about forgetting. But what's interesting with that is that I used to have so many PMS symptoms, because it basically just made all of my things worse, is what it felt like, especially because like prostaglandins make like ligaments hurt and stuff. So like all of my like muscle aches and ligament pain and stuff, all of that just got heightened, it felt like, during my period. So I had like pretty clear cues. And I also had this, and it was extreme, but I feel like my period heightens my like neurodivergent tendencies. I really feel like everything's a spectrum. It's not like I'm diagnosing myself with these things, but I think it's important to like recognize that everyone can have tendencies. So I definitely have some OCD tendencies, and I identify as like partly on the autism spectrum, mostly with body feel. So I feel like you're saying, like, oh, you're so in touch with your body. That used to feel like crippling. It got to the point where it felt so overwhelming to be in my body and to feel my body. And luckily that has really simmered to a point where I can use it as a tool again, as like, I do think that that really helps me as a like chronic pain specialist, corrective exercise specialist, personal trainer, because I really understand what it's like to be in pain. And again, I think I actually said this last interview, but I don't like believe in having regrets. Like everyone, I think I probably said this too, because it's something I live by. Like everyone makes the best decision they can with the information they had at the time. And so like, sure, this was a super preventable thing. I could have caught it earlier. However, I have to recognize that going through this process has made me so aware of my body, so aware of my mental health. My mental health got really bad during this time, but it's also made me learn how to identify those things. It's really brought me in touch with my neurodivergent side. And I don't know if I would have figured out that some of these things were OCD or ASD. And so it's really actually been helpful for me to have those things heightened in order to see them. And then luckily they've become much more manageable. And even figuring out how to use them as like something that it just makes me and makes me like glad that I have those parts of me and makes me better at my job. And
I think one thing that's really interesting, and just like, I don't know if you remember in the class, and something I really try to think about is like, what is myself or my cycle in balance or out of balance, right? And it's like every person is going to have their whatever their flavor is of physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Their pain expression or whatever, right? When things are unbalanced in whatever way that's happening. And it's, yeah, that's obviously not a place like anyone wants to live, but it's also very much like a part of the human experience. And I imagine very few people go through life without experiencing that part of themselves for a while. You know what I mean? Like, I think that, you were saying like, oh, maybe I should have, maybe I had this. And it's like, but it's not like you weren't trying, like it just didn't happen for who knows why, who knows what. But what I really stands out for me and your story among so many things is, well, A, your perseverance, Right. Like you were low, the low of the low end. Cause I've had, ex and I also have had my own experience with that where it's like it had to get to the bottom before something in me was like, this is unbearable and something's got to change. And when you sent me that Facebook message, something that stood out to me is you said something about like, you know, how you had been searching for something to be really like wrong in a way, and that there was in some ways, it was normal, even though, you know, that you have to be so careful with the language, I feel like, right? Because yes, like there is nothing like fundamentally wrong with your system, but it was wrong in the sense that it was missing essential things. And I do think that that is such a big, such a, well, I don't know. I don't know anything, but I feel like, I suspect that's such a big window of people in our society who don't realize how terrible it can be, your experience of yourself and your body, to just be a little off on some things. And it's somehow in our system and our culture, we're like, we almost want something to be wrong because it's like, I feel like it kind of relates to some of those basic needs. And it's like, then someone can take care of you or something. Someone can save you. Someone can something. Like, so it's so interesting.
That's fascinating because I felt like once I figured out with the help of my doctor, but like I figured out the iodine thing. Collaborative. My doctor's actually collaborative. I actually love my doctor. But once we figured out what was wrong, I had lived so long trying to figure out what was wrong with me that like I found so much energy that I didn't know what to do with. And for a while I did like keep trying to find things that were wrong. Like I kind of tried to figure out like I kind of put it on my husband for a second. I was like, what's wrong with you? And then like I try to like do it to other people. I was like, oh, and like I had to be really careful because I work with clients with chronic pain. And I was like, I am not their doctor.
It is a
True.
complete human tendency to the, you know, what you're describing is the tendency to like place our own experience on everyone else and just like you know, and it's again, nobody makes it through life without doing
Yeah.
it all the time or for a period of time. Like it's very, you know, so you know, again, I really appreciate your extreme attention to these things because it's like we cannot not be human, but we can eventually catch. Reason why I was really excited to talk to you because I was like, I feel like you're touching on some of the questions that I've been kind of mulling and like really trying to get really clear with myself. Like what is my goal, you know, doing this work and doing the classes? And is it, you know, it's kind of like that classic thing. It's like you put something out in the world and all of a sudden it's like swept up in everyone else's whatever. And so there's been I've been a lot of just like reflecting on that. Because, and I think I've come back to just the original thing, which is just like for me, when I felt prompted to kind of like step into, you know, to doing this work, it was as simple as you should just know. Like most of us just don't know that this is happening at all, right? So I am not really trying to take any responsibility or claim any expertise at all on any of the nuances, and maybe over time I'll get further into this, but right now, like absolutely not of the actual medical, you know, nuances or anything of a menstrual cycle. But A, you should just know that it's there. You should understand how it baseline works. And B, it's just like a tool or an opportunity to be in relationship with your greater self. And, you know, a way, just a way to get in, just like an interesting way to get in and to, and of course we deserve support and to be healthy and this and that. But like at the end of the day, like you gotta know yourself and like a doctor or a professional mental health person or your friends or whatever, your partner, like can't know what's happening in your own self and body. And like, you've got to kind of take the reins on that.
Oh gosh, so many thoughts. So, first, I really recommend reading or listening Between Two Kingdoms, Sulika
Yeah,
Jawad.
that definitely intrigued me.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Really good. Because kind of what you were saying there was making me think about how, again, with like forcing your experience on people too, like I really reckon, I feel like I often force my experience on other people. However, I feel like this one I do have, and maybe because of this book, I have a very good understanding of how lucky I am and like how unusual of a case it is to have gone from the kingdom of sickness to the kingdom of health. Like, I do believe I am in the kingdom of health right now, and I'm not in between. Like, most people are in between, and I'm fortunate enough to have just jumped right over. And that is not, I think that's a very unusual
When you zoom out to
experience.
the large whole world and historical world, that is like, yeah, it's a
That
beautiful,
is,
miraculous thing. That's like
it's really uncommon.
the opportunity we have in this like
Yeah. I feel like the time that I spent walking between was mostly mental, like mostly figuring out, I mean, yes,
mental
physical things were still happening.
and reality of the you just didn't know, and it just
Yeah.
didn't like that
Yeah.
is
So you're familiar
really,
with liminality? Because that's kind of a new word for me.
I am, although not in any sort of formal way,
Well, yeah. No, that's
but
fine.
yes, yeah, that's a
Oh, and
word.
that reminded me of the other thing I was going to say. I feel like you are super similar to me in this very specific way of really being worried about overstepping your scope of practice. And without sounding like, oh, I get so worried about sounding like I know more than people or patronizing and stuff, I would encourage you, from as someone who has taken your course and gotten so much of it, it almost just made me emotional. Also, probably a day 28 thing, but like it, that again, it's not that I don't feel emotional about this. I just think my cycles just emphasize things.
And that's what it does. I mean, that's so
Like, I
highlighted.
got so much of it. I would encourage you to be a little less concerned about that. Simply make sure you're not giving medical advice, but you are knowledgeable about these things and you come at it with a very like empathetic, understanding approach that I think you can go a little further than you think. Like, you know these things. Do you really think that, like, okay, just between us, like, I feel like my best friend being a doctor now and like how going through residency and all that has made me realize like how little everyone knows. Like,
That's the
especially about this subject.
thing. Yeah, that's the thing I have to
Someone
remind myself.
has to be teaching this, is my point.
Well, because it's not, it's another thing reflected in our culture is that it's the healthy body, and doctors are focused on
Ooh,
that.
interesting.
You know what I mean? Yeah, which is
I just
reasonable.
got shivers. That
But
was.
yeah, we don't have a big focus on just learning what are we? It's still fascinating even when it's good. Like, and there's just not enough time for them to get into
That
that.
just made me emotional too, because I feel like that's very reminiscent of like what I'm going through. I'm like, if I'm not sick, then what am I?
Still a
Like,
wacky
there's
body.
not really many resources for that. And honestly, that's part of my job is that people, I've always described corrective exercise as you go medical, physical therapy, and then they're like, go out into the world and be fine. And you're like, I'm not fine. So I'm the bridge between like that medical place of physical therapy or even medicine and then unhindered movement. So yeah, that space, and you're in that space too. You're in that weird space of like healthy enough,
Yeah,
you're
that's for
healthy
sure.
enough that you're not medical systems problem, but you don't feel good. Like those are the type of people who seek you out. They want to understand what's going on. I think I didn't finish this thought. I have some really weird OCD things. They're like body symmetry. So like symmetry OCD is very much so a classification, but I have body symmetry. And so I get very bothered when my like shoulders aren't uneven, or if like, ooh, it started to interfere with running, which is when I actually like got some therapeutic help with it, some professional help with it. Because I was like, you are not allowed to, I can tolerate you in my everyday life, but you do not get to affect the thing that is meant to fix my mental health. So when it started creeping in there, I was like, nope, okay, get some OCD treatment. So with running, I'll feel like twisted. Like I'll feel like my like bodies are not symmetric, which is why it's frustrating that I can't let it go. But I'll feel like my like one hip is more in front of the other, which makes me use my legs differently. And like, oh God, it starts to feel super janky. But that was very bad when I was ill, but it still is one of my like main symptoms, is that I just get like, and using this term not as a negative, I just get a little more neurotic, like right before my period. So like yesterday running, I was like, I feel twisty. Like I've learned with OCD treatment, which is very different than standard mental health treatment. So like CBT is not for OCD. And I feel like that was why I think that labels are so important, is that it gives you the correct toolkit. So like getting the correct toolkit of ERPs was like crucial for me, because CBT was honestly making it worse because you think about it more, and then that's how OCD works. So I'm like, nope, that's just a thought spiral now. So getting the toolkit of knowing how to do ERPs and stuff was like really important for me to take back running. And like, it's still, I still intentionally like expose myself. So yeah, it's just funny that that is like one of my most obvious menstrual cycle related things now is.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I feel like I say this a lot in the class too. It's just like the menstrual cycle is important to know about because it is going to highlight your neuroses. It is going to, anything that you struggle with in any of it, and it, that's the mental, you know, like anything that you struggle with at any level, it's going to highlight that. Right. And so
for some reason you saying that right now, like, oh my God, see, it's all very new for me. Like I feel like a different person. I'm going through a lot of things that I've thought about in my past body that feel just completely different now. So for some reason I had even said today, oh, it's my emotions, they're still there, they're just heightened. And for some reason I didn't accept, oh, my mental things are there, they're just heightened. Like
it's all that's the other thing I love about the four line, is it breaks it down, but then it's all the same. It's still it's just you know what I mean? It's just a way to look at it, and they're all connected. And what I really, you know, love that I feel like you're speaking to here, a couple things. A, again, just the human experience. This is your particular expression. Everyone has their thing, and yeah, the label is, it's just a flavor, it's an expression, and it is helpful. You know, I think it's so scary sometimes in our society to put those things on ourselves because we don't see them as tools that will help us know ourselves better. We see them as identifiers of this like self, you know. Also, what I'm really seeing is like you're on the sort of quote unquote recovery path, you know, and it's gradual, and it's not perfect. And yeah, you still are going to have a cycle. You're still going to have the ups and downs. But that's another thing that I think, like, I really, you know, aspire to help people see their menstrual cycle instead of like, is this burden, like, as like, everyone goes through, everyone, you know, regardless of what your body's doing, cycle or not, these things in life, and the menstrual cycle, if you can fit, is like this opportunity to practice that every month and to get to know that part of yourself, not as like, this is who I am, like, but like, you know, we all have to get to know that part of ourselves in order to kind of just let it go. That's the weird part too, is like you get so deep into it and you're like, I know it, and then you got to be like, no. Okay, like it just, you know, but anyways, I really see what you just spoke to as just you're really noticing the continuity. You're still yourself. It was just like an extreme on one end, and now it's like traveling to the health side of the kingdom.
It's so interesting because, like, I feel like my menstrual cycle was so important. Like, hopefully you understand that, like, internally it really mattered to my story. And even in that, like, yesterday, actually, there's just this like really clear moment. I was just like not doing anything in particular. I was like putting dishes away or something. And I just like randomly felt, I think I was like starting to get cramps. And I randomly felt for maybe the first time, just like, it's like, wow, like I like having this cycle. I just like it. Like I can't iterate it. I just like it. And I even thought, how do men not have this little like cycle? And I was just like, it's ours. And like, I like, for some reason, I had never felt that before. Well, not for some reason. I mean, it was a terrible experience. So like, it was just for some reason, I felt it in that moment. And it's so hard to explain because it's just such a, it's just a thing, and it's just like a feeling, and that's why I was like, I don't know how I'm going to explain how, because I know that this will help. Yeah, I don't know. I've been feeling weird about how I didn't really like prepare anything because I knew it would be more like authentic and like all of that if I didn't think in advance. But like, it's really hard for me to explain that, like, I know that my story relates to you being all about the menstrual cycle.
I think what you're really speaking to is something I really feel strongly about. It's just a choice. You know, big picture, we just have, you know, have to choose how to relate ourselves to ourselves. And I think that's another piece that feels so important to me, with just the piece of just knowing that it's there. Like, just know that it's there and pay a little, because without that, we don't have that choice. And like historically, that's the thing. And it's so subtle. It's so subtle, but it has such a big impact of just like, it hasn't been that long and still is so prevalent in a lot of ways, where like, I mean, literally it was seen as this like evil curse. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God. And it's like getting to that point where I like this. It feels so kind of, you know, like it, the way you describe it, kind of gentle. Not like this big pow moment, but like if you think about it, like that is such a big thing.
I think why this might be like particularly interesting to me is that, like, so OCD treatment is a lot about it's exposure response prevention. So like, you're supposed to expose yourself to the trigger, but not do the thing that you would typically have the compulsion to do. And I'm not a therapist, so I shouldn't like,
Sure.
you know. But yeah. And a lot of that for me and my specific compulsions, and obsessions, I actually don't have that many compulsions, which are like actions. I have mostly obsessions in my mind. A lot of that is knowing that it's there. You're supposed to feel the discomfort. You're supposed to sit in the discomfort, which again, my whole life seems to be sitting in the discomfort. Like, that's ultra's
Yeah.
takeaway. I am learning how to embrace sitting in the discomfort. And like, yeah, just knowing I think a lot of that is just knowing that it's there, and it's not, I think it's really important to say that it's not trying to fix you, like we were talking about, like you're not something to be fixed. You're just trying to learn how to make it not be affecting your life negatively, which is, I mean, that's what makes something go from a quirk to a mental health problem. Yeah, that idea of just like sitting with who you are and accepting it and accepting everything that happens to you as just who you are is definitely the process that I'm going through right now. And my menstrual cycle is actually very related to that. One of the biggest things I explain to people is that I felt like everything was a threat to my homeostasis. I feel like I was clinging so desperately to feeling human. And that's what I'm considering homeostasis, is just feeling human. And every little thing was a threat to that and my existence.
I think a lot about the development of identity a lot, and just like a sense of self, and how it's so much more complex, you know, for someone who's menstrually cycling, because, you know, depending on your experience of that, and it's very, some people don't experience this as much, but it's, you know, kind of all over the place, and it's like you're like, oh, who am I in that, whereas, like, again, very simplified, but if you're just like the idea of being the same every day, like, again, it doesn't work this way, but I think about like what I might have done, you know, by now, if I wasn't just like trying to be like, whoa, what's happening today? Like,
Yeah.
and again, like, I don't think that's an accurate like of anything, but I just like, it's just a different experience. It's just different.
It's funny because you, and maybe that was my interpretation, it sounded like you thought that was a net negative. Like, oh, it's like distracting. But like, I also feel like that's our benefit is that like, we have different thoughts at different times and like our different experiences. And I think that helps us be more empathetic and be able to understand different experiences because we are constantly experiencing different experiences. And so for you, I want to just make it really clear that like, I think just having it exist is the most important thing. Like people just going through the process of learning about it and having the tools. Again, I'm all about tools to, if it clicks with them, understand their entire body better through the lens of the menstrual cycle is so valuable. And again, because of, and like for me, the menstrual cycle again was actually at the root of like all of this, like it's my connection with it is largely what helped me figure out that was actually the first rabbit hole of even vitamin D deficiency, of figuring out that that extends the cycle length and stuff. Like it was the first thing that gave me a thing to actually like, all those crazy side effects can be all sorts of things, but like the menstrual cycle is just so valuable and specific. Like it's like this physical thing that's definitely happening, you know? Like people can't say that's anxiety, but like, yeah.
Remind me what your major was. So like what I like to know, I feel like few people use their major, but I'd like to know what scope they're looking at things from.
And that's no, that's hugely influential, because my major is neuroscience, and so I approach everything as like from that lens. And that's, you know, part of, I'm still some of the bigger picture things, because for me, I see the way my mind works is like facts, details, da da da, don't care. I learn it and it feels like I metabolize it, and then I zoom out to like the, what does that mean, bigger picture, like pattern, like the pattern.
Yeah, never mind. You're not a one.
Yeah. For me, the neuroscience is so influential that people are like, huh? Because it just, I'm like, how I like, I want to understand the human experience, bigger
Yes.
picture, versus like, I don't,
That makes so much sense with all of this.
And
Yep.
so that's like the last piece that I'm still metabolizing and wanting to kind of get clear is like in the course is kind of like my bigger, the bigger frameworks of things to try to put in there. So anyways, but yeah, so I did I was neuroscience and right, I've yeah, my last 3 years have also been a journey that was not what I planned. Primarily, I've been kind of doing what you've been doing in my version, which is the like fall into a million pieces. So that's like really what I've been doing,
Yeah. Just like the pressure of like, yeah, no, it is a full-time job to not fall apart right now. Like I am barely clinging on. Like, so I get that. And I'm so glad that you're giving, it sounds like you're giving yourself space and the patience to literally, this is your job right now, is figure out, yeah, how to exist.
Yeah, so I also like have had a long, I can't, I never remember what I say, but journey with my mental health, with my, and then that also became a whole relationship with chronic pain, that I went like way into like the sciatica, just like agony realm there that I've been just slowly, and in the same way, but through a different, slightly different journey. It's like the same kind of point of like how much agony and just a quote unquote normal body can be, and when something, all the pieces come together that way. So it's been really interesting for me. For me, it's been a lot of roots and like childhood experiences. So that's why I kind of take that psychological.
I never ended up posting about, it was just too personal. I never ended up posting about what my race meant to me. It had nothing to do with running 31 miles. It was everything to do with getting that diagnosis like 3 days before. And so like for a race, you're really supposed to have like mantras that are like, mantras can be very powerful, like motivation to keep going, remember why you're doing the thing. All of that went out the window. The most important thing that kept happening, I just kept telling myself, like, you're not broken. Like, I felt like such, and you were talking about this too. There's so many thoughts that I keep remembering from because we keep stacking. I really felt like an inferior person. Like, I felt like I was a shitty human. Especially because it affected my mental health so much and it affected my neuroses so much that I really started to feel super autistic. And not again, I want to be careful with not saying that's a negative thing, but it made
But for
me.
you in particular, it's a sign of imbalance, right?
I had
And
a very hard time
then
like socializing and stuff. And so I had a hard time. I felt like I was either getting triggered or I was triggering my friends all the time. I felt like I like could not have friendships. I felt like I just like I was failing in every realm. I was like, I can't work very much. I was like working bare minimum and honestly mostly just to like feel like I was fulfilling some stupid bullshit societal expectation of having a job so I at least could tell people I was working, you know, but like honestly it was like not at all. And like I just felt so inferior and I felt broken. And so during that race, I just kept being like, you're not broken. And I would just like start crying while I'm running because I was like, and it wasn't that I wasn't broken because I was running. I was like, I'm not broken because like I, greater I that we've been talking about this entire time is not broken, which I had convinced myself of completely. I had just fallen down that hole so hard that I was like, I am a fucked up, broken person. And it was during that race that I went through 8 hours of mental discussion with myself. And all of the things I felt in my body that made that race so important to me. And like, fuck the, I literally don't care about the, I want to do another ultra so I can focus on the physical.
Sure. Yeah, they're like, oh, someone loves us. Yeah.
Oddly, I was so distracted that like it didn't even feel that hard. But like, I that was not what that race was about for me. It would be cool to one day do a race and let that be what it's about, but like, holy shit, I like literally, oh, it was this like gray, perfect day, which I love. And then it started raining just at like the last, I just got shivers again, and it makes me so emotional because the moment was like out of the story. I just like, it started raining like the last like half hour of the race, and it was just like, well, holy shit, that's some symbolism of a rebirth, because like I just could not get over it, how like that could not have been more what I was feeling. And like, oh my God, I'm a weirdo who still uses Pandora instead of Spotify, but my Pandora was like
Yeah.
on spot. Like it wasn't playing me all the like, you know, often I listen to like 2008 rap and hip hop, you know, like that type of vibe. But like I was on some stations that were playing like songs that were just like so oddly, like it doesn't know I'm running right now. And it was like so on top of it. There are two songs in particular that like I basically just start crying when I hear them now because I was like, I played them on repeat because I was like, these are exactly what I'm experiencing. And like, yeah, if you want to listen to the songs, they're Lucky by Dermot Kennedy and Chant by Macklemore. I love Macklemore. But it felt so, I don't know if anyone will ever understand why those songs felt applicable, but they were. And like the Lucky one is kind of about like being lucky in love with someone else, but like it was for me all about being like learning how to love myself again because I did not for a long time. And like all of this happened in 8 hours of running. And like all of this was like, it was like an expedited version of everything. And then the last couple months was like figuring out what all of that like meant, if that makes sense. Yeah, like piecing it, threading it, de-threading it, figuring out the nuances and stuff. But like, yeah, the feelings of that were wild, which is why, yeah, I understand having things and letting go, and
Yeah.
yeah, that's very empowering.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I really just think that, I mean, you had, this peak alignment, like almost spiritual
Yes.
experience,
Oh,
and
for sure.
yeah, I just think it's so, I think it's so important, and so wonderful, and I mean, obviously for your individual life, but I just, I tend to think, or I guess I like to find meaning in things, and I think it's just really amazing, and I just think it's so relatable. It's like maybe no one can ever understand those particular songs relation, but everyone can look at a moment in their life and be like, oh yes, like I understand that, or
Can
some
they though? I don't think that's actually
okay.
very common. I legitimately think that like this level of self-reflection is like, and that's honestly what your course taught teaches too. Like people don't know how to self-reflect and like do that introspection and like be vulnerable, and because like that, go through all that, you have to recognize that you were like unhealthy, whether that's like literally or like mentally.
I guess
But yeah.
anyone who's examining their own life, I do just think that is not a given, but it is a common human experience.
I went to PT after that, and even my PT was like, how did you not fall over? Like, I was not in a good place. Like, I was weak, and like, I was so glad and relieved to get a PT who understood that I was weak, because this whole time people have been saying, oh, you're so strong and fit and healthy. I was like, you don't know what's going on inside. So seeing someone who saw me was so crucial too. And so then when I got stronger, I could believe her that I was strong because she had seen, confirmed that I was weak. And so like all of that was all process. And yeah, this whole healing journey is fascinating. See, hopefully you understand that I really, this wasn't a, here's my random medical problems. It's like my menstrual cycle helped me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I so appreciate your like intention and investigation of yourself, and makes me so happy that that was like a useful framework to
Totally.
travel through, something some that experience with. And that's you're like weirdly, because that was such a difficult experience, but I'm like, this is exactly what I'm hoping for, is just people
Good.
getting deep into relationship with themselves. So
And I feel, interesting. Kind of ending thought, like, I feel like you kind of need to understand. If you're a female, you need a understanding of your menstrual cycle to understand all that, because it's gonna fluctuate and that's not gonna make any sense if you don't understand that. It all comes back down. It all comes back to it. It really does.
Okay, that is a wrap on my interview with Alyssa. And again, just thank you so much, Alyssa, for sharing your story, for sharing your experiences so openly and honestly. I honestly loved every second of that conversation. It went probably a bit longer than it normally will, but I just couldn't take any of it out. It was, I just loved it too much. And yeah, I guess it's just a closing thought. I just got, I heard so many times Alyssa say in this interview, I hope you can understand how this is connected to my menstrual cycle. And it was so funny for me, because for me in my lens, I'm like, duh, like, of course it is. Like, I can see it so clearly. And I wonder how it will sound to other people, but what I really heard in Alyssa's story is her using her information, knowledge, and relationship with her cycle, which she had been building at this point for several years, intentionally, as this guide through her journey of health and pain, and as also a guide to continuing to connect and find herself, which maybe that's just my interpretation, but that is my view of the cycle. It's my view is maybe too complex at this point. I relate to it on so many levels, but I really connect to my cycle as this guide and way to connect with myself and understand myself. And so, yeah, it was just really wonderful to hear Alyssa doing that as well and hear how it was able to bring her into a better place in her life overall. So again, thank you, Alyssa. Thank you for listening. To everyone listening, please rate and review this podcast and share it with everyone and anyone who you think might be interested. And also, if you are interested in sharing your story and your menstrual cycle story, whatever that may be, I really would love anything. Please contact me. You can do that by going to mooncyclesanctuary.org. That's the website. And going to either the interview or connect page and just sending me a quick hello, and we will get that going. So yeah, thanks everyone, and that's it.